Hello, amazing folks. Welcome to another interesting episode of the podcast show, Trivia Talks. I'm your host, Tarun Mundra, and in today's episode, we have with us a very special guest, Dr. Vimal Babu. Vimal sir is my mentor, guide, teacher. He is a man whom I look up to. If I briefly describe him, Vimal sir is a faculty, trainer, author, artist, and researcher in the area of people management and entrepreneurship. He is an academic mentor as well. Vimal sir offers corporate training in negotiation skills, conflict management, entrepreneurial soft skills, leadership development, and qualitative marketing research. He is expecting to see his first international book published on negotiation with world-renowned Professor Dr. Robert Hisrich from Kent State University, USA by 2021. Currently, he is working on an international project in the area of education along with his international team to address the ongoing educational challenges. In today's episode, sir will be discussing about COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on human resource management. He will be also discussing about the impact of COVID-19 on education and the future of management student. All the answers are covered in a very detailed and informative manner by Vimal sir. So let's start this awesome and amazing discussion with Dr. Vimal Babu. Let's go. So well, hello sir, welcome to Trivia Talks. I feel so blessed to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining, sir.
Thank you very much, Tarun. It's always a pleasure to interact with students, and especially those students who really want to carve a niche in their career, and you are one of them. And of course, all those batchmates of yours whom I had a personal occasion to interact with, I found all of them equally excited, and I hope all of them are working hard in the current COVID back at their homes in terms of preparing themselves, getting ready for this PC era to be over. In short, these days we call post-COVID as PC era. So The PC era, once you are out of this era, hopefully you all will be landing up with a lot of land of opportunities, but then you need to be ready for that. I think you are all working hard to reach up to that level. So happy to be with you and all those listeners who are listening to this healthy conversation going to take place. Thank you so much for being there, and I'm looking forward. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah. And sir, I asked this general question to all my guests, which is how they are spending their time during this lockdown to, you know, get some amazing answers. So I'm asking you to, like, how are you and how are you spending your time during this lockdown?
Yeah, I must say that I'm doing great in terms of being with my parents, my mother, my father, my brother. It's a long time, after a long gap of time, I got an opportunity to come back and join my near and dear ones. So thanks. So in a way, there are many things which COVID got us introduced to, but there are even certain things which have been a blessing as well. So I see it as blessing, allowing me to come closer to my parents. I think I left about 13-14 years back. I on account of job or career opportunities and research and other requirements, I had to move out of the city and move out of my the place where my family or parents were living. So after a gap of 13-14 years, I got this opportunity to come back. Of course, I was meeting them on a yearly basis or once in 6 months. But this sort of staying together at a stretch continuously for 3 months or more than now, 3 months, I'm absolutely blessed staying with my family. So that is one part of my progress in the last 3-5 months. Apart from that, if you ask how do I keep myself engaged, So the best part of my, I will never ever be able to forget this pandemic period for a special reason. And that special reason is the pandemic actually helped me to finish my long pending international book. And this international book is with a very, very special person. And he is none other than Professor Dr. Robert Hisrich. And Dr. Robert Hisrich is an eminent professor in the area of entrepreneurship. And he has got more than 48 international textbooks in entrepreneurship, all available in Amazon and various other platforms online. And he happens to be the co-author of my book. I am the first author. And the title of the book is Negotiation for Entrepreneurs. So this book is finally ready. I mean, I completed the task of getting ready the manuscript now. And now it is in the process of reviewing, copy editing, and all those publisher related activities. Once that is hopefully in the next 4 to 5 or 6 months, the entire copy editing work will be over, and hopefully by summer 2021, I hope to see this book there in the international market, in libraries, universities in US, UK, Arab countries, and Middle East, or and Asia, South Asia, as well as Southeast Asian countries, especially in these schools and universities and their libraries. So for me, it's a great opportunity to work with Professor Robert Hisrich, thanks to his vast experience. And he's, apart from a professor, he's also an entrepreneur. He is owning a couple of own startups, and he is a world-renowned speaker traveling across the world. So it's a blessing in disguise, as I said. So this pandemic, in a way, there were there are so many issues which many of us are facing in terms of challenges, crises, surprises. But then there have been some of the happy moments as well in my life. So one, I could come back to my parents. I could stay with them for longer period of time. And a second, I was able to complete my international book. And it's a great recognition going to be once it is out in the market. And the other thing which I am actually looking forward to is to design my own own customized training programs in the field of leadership and negotiation, which is again going to be floated very 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 soon. So understanding the requirement of the post-COVID challenges, especially for the workers and the supervisory staff, as well as junior level management or middle level managers, how these coping mechanisms are to be developed so that the employees may deliver their work performances in a better way by dealing with all these crises and catastrophes. So that training aspect is something which I have of late started, because I think it's high time I should do it. And thanks to this, again, thanks to this pandemic, I'm also associated with a couple of leading these schools in India, which are actually offering MBA programs, and I'm their visiting faculty, and I'm offering courses in negotiation and leadership. So that is also very actively going on. So these days I'm packed with my entire week. I used to be full of online sessions, interaction with a few entrepreneurs with respect to my book writing, which I recently finished. And of course, the upcoming activity of designing training programs. So that I'm going to be busy with. And hopefully for maybe another couple of months, I'll continue with this activities till the time this pandemic gets over, or at least get minimized or to some extent in terms of its impact, especially in the industry. And so my understanding is this is the best opportunity for anyone to actually relook into oneself and see what you are, how you are, and what you are good at, what is lacking, what should be done to do to fill that gap, or how to optimally utilize your key strengths, and where all the gaps or opportunities exist in the industry, or which is going to come up in the industry, and how you should fit yourself to the need of the hour and requirement. So this is a great moment to turn around and look deeply into these aspects. Otherwise, in the normal scenario where we were working before or studying before, it was a rat race, running after one after another, just like following the herd. Yeah, we were continuously moving after one another, chasing one another, competing against one another, and not even having a single moment to look back as what are we up to, and why we are doing it, and what is the outcome, what is the value, are we losing too much for too small gains. So perhaps this is the right time to ponder over and then re-strategize our initiatives so that our optimal objectives or our basic objectives can be realized optimally. So wonderful experience so far. And so I would say many people have, if you ask them, people may say, in terms of a sense of negativity would be there in the conversation probably, but it doesn't mean that I didn't have any issue. We all are affected by this pandemic. However, when I look back and when I experience even today, I feel elated. I feel really good about what has happened in terms of opportunities that are going to gather in the forthcoming months. There are tremendous opportunities going to be new emerging industry, new opportunities are going to come up, and reskilling is required. So many initiatives are required. So it's a land of opportunities you're going to finally reach post-COVID. So I'm very positive, excited, and thrilled at the same time.
Right, sir. And sir, congratulations for that book, and we all are looking forward to read it soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you rightly said, sir, like the transformation is big and each and every segment is getting affected due to this. But if I talk about HRM, which is our topic for today also, the COVID-19 is becoming accelerator for one of the greatest workplace transformation of our lifetime, you can say. How we work, how we exercise, how we shop, learn, communicate, and of course, where we work will be changed forever. So my question to you is, in this particular scenario, one of the major issue due to COVID-19 was unemployment. So how do you think, like, how COVID-19 has affected the human resource management, and it has been changed just because of coronavirus pandemic?
First of all, that's an interesting question to actually look into, because whichever industry you take globally or in any scenario, in any country, be it developing or emerging nations or developed nations, you find this situation by and large same of unemployment or people themselves quitting the job. So this impact is definitely going to be a bigger impact. And we have partly realized the impact, by the way. It is still not over. So the half of the game is still remaining. So what experts and industry leaders are talking about, based on their experience and expertise with respect to the pandemic, what they are speculating is in the this pandemic is going to go for another couple of more years, maybe till the impact will be seen. Although may not be this severe, but certainly the impact is going to be felt till 2025. So this is not going to be a short run kind of activity which we are all witnessing today and ever since March or February, March 2020. This has just begun. So very likely this is going to go for a similar kind of challenges what we have faced in the last 3 or 4 or 5 months, and this may get repeated and even may get worsened. So unemployment definitely is there, but how we deal with this unemployment practices or issues is going to make the bigger difference. So if you talk about countries like US, United States of America, they are already having this insurance plans and compensation plans and all remuneration for joblessness. So they are getting financially, they are being offered that financial support to meet their ends in the given critical economic conditions. So still it is not enough for them. Still they are complaining. Even the process is very tedious to avail those facilities or benefits by the government. Even the common people are struggling out there. That is what we get to know through articles and published work. But when we look in a different condition like India, a country which is still economically trying to carve its niche in the international global platform, we are not called as developing, but still we are at the threshold of developing or to getting developed kind of scenario. So somewhere we are in the midst of both. So the struggle is all the more bigger, where we don't have, because of the population, more than billion population, and we have a lot of unorganized sector, and all of these factors are making actually all the more difficult for the government system or union government or state government to actually come up with their sustainable measures, which is not going to be that easy, because the kind of population or size of population required to be catered is huge. So how is it that the measures are going to be effective even when we take certain measures? So, and then the challenge is not a industry specific or company specific or market specific issue. The challenge is at a macro level, at a global level, and the severity or the impact of this global pandemic is definitely not going to be resolved in 6 months or 1 year. So it is going to prolong, as I said before, for another 3-4 years, even more than that. So this is not going to be a kind of, we will fix it with some kind of new innovation or new strategy or a better skill. It requires all that what we are good at. It requires all that what we are good at. It requires all what we are not good at. We need to come up with those things, those innovations, those creative technologies, those solutions at different fronts. Whether you are talking about health based remedies or economic support system for employment or performance related productivity of the employees, you talk about any dimension, it is calling for altogether a different strategic and operational approach. It needs that novelty in terms of dealing it. So what is required, or what is the need of the hour, if that is the question, what would be the requirement for this current indispensable scenario, then the answer would be, by and large, an approach to be different in terms of doing things different when you compare it with your past activities, past actions. So when you talk about HR, see, HR has been evolving over the last several decades. And the growth or the kind of expansion or the kind of progress which HR has witnessed in the last several decades have been, today when we look back, the HR growth, I personally feel the kind of transformation what HR has witnessed is slower than what it should have been. Because the kind of situations what we are facing today is going to hamper the business growth for sure if it is not dealt properly. And in order to deal with these sort of issues, which is of global, which is at global level, HR of any company or in the industry, HR should be robust in terms of its capability to find solution, in terms of integrating solutions with the involvement of a strategic team, as well as the business strategists or the top level management. So the role is going to be of multidimensional, more than just hiring, training, evaluating the performances and rewarding them is no more going to be the work of any HR professional. It has to be much, much bigger than the activities what HR was doing all the more, because thanks to this new guest pandemic era,
right,
as a result, it is going to be very different. So my 2 points on how HR or how what is the scenario for HR is going to be like, if I need to respond to that, I would say that immediately what top leading companies are actually doing, their HR is actually minimizing the overall cost. Immediately they are trying to arrest the cost wherever they should, they can. They are actually right sizing. They are trying to lay off their people and then trying to bring the cost down, both tangible and intangible, in terms of intangible assets. So apart from that, HR needs to align the HR strategies with shifting business strategy of the organization. Because of this PC era, new pandemic and environment, the strategic shifting has to be there. Otherwise, it is going to be, they may be losing a lot in terms of the newer opportunities that is around the corner post COVID. So the company is definitely going to relook at their strategy. While they are relooking at their strategy, HR as a business partner must align those strategies with HR strategies, so that it can be implemented in the form of percolating it to the base or bottom level across all the employees working for the company, by regularly updating them, by communicating with them, by engaging these employees who are working from far off places, work from home, in a work from home mode, as well as they need to be provided regular support and safety in terms of especially mental, psychological safety in this crisis situation like pandemic. Apart from that, HR must also give priority to innovative digital training methods, which is currently the need of the hour, because employees cannot be there in the physical environment of their offices and workplaces. So they need regular upgradation in terms of their skills and various other requirements. Training programs are to be developed. So the bigger challenge of HR is going to be as how digitally they're going to address their training needs, and how they would come up with innovative digital training platforms. So it requires a lot of brainstorming in terms of interacting with the departments related to technology or digital technology divisions. So it could be from in-house expertise, or they will have to outsource the requirements what they need. But then the HR will have to be the catalyst in this whole process, by integrating, by including the employees in terms of their participation, at the same time by connecting with the right vendors, engaging with them and bringing their expertise on board, at the same time aligning the strategy, HR strategy, with the business strategy of the company, as well as understanding and learning to align the company strategies with the economy of the country or the nation, as because at a macro level, because it goes that way. Otherwise, global crisis, again, economic crisis or economic issues would also impact a company which is operating at a very small level, at a small scale level. It would certainly be getting affected. So alignment in multiple levels, at multiple dimensions, is going to be the requirement for the HR to take care of. So that way, perhaps it can deal with it. One more thing I would like to add here. See, the unemployment due to COVID-19 is definitely a global issue now. So HR alone cannot do much. In fact, the solution lies somewhere in the collaborative solutions which is to come from the government, industry association, small and medium enterprises and their representatives and related bodies, so that everybody should come together and curb this menace, curb this increasing unemployment rate due to pandemic. So standalone entity being an HR fraternity alone won't bring any difference. It would be in silos. Effort would all go in vain. So immediately the I mean, what we have seen in top notch Fortune 500 companies or the top leading companies, they are actually going by integrating various initiatives and strategies as well as processes with respect to HR with the business strategies. So that alignment is being facilitated. So thanks to the top level management, they are able to envision the whole growth perspective for the company in the next 5 years, 10 years down the line. So that kind of maturity has to be there at the top level. So only then HR will be able to function vibrantly.
Right. Yes, sir, you rightly mentioned, like, you know, the transformation in the HR is amazing in the last few years. And one new trend you can say, which is happening in most of the companies, is earlier they used to hire based on degree, like from which college you are or based on the degree they used to hire from the placement. But now we have seen a bit of shift in those things, which is, you know, now companies are hiring actually based on skill set. So do you think it will become new normal, like post COVID-19 also?
See, it is to be understood that whether it is a post-COVID or pre-COVID scenario, the requirement of the industry has always been the right people at the right job, so that there is a kind of right kind of performances, and then there is a kind of achievement or accomplishment, target achievement and goal achievement, and eventually it moves the company forward towards the vision and mission of the company over a period of time. So the requirement is always going to be the same in terms of skills and knowledge and attitude of the candidate. So post-COVID, yes, there would be certain differences in the way companies are now going to look at, especially the companies would like to have, if you talk about the fresh candidates or students who do not have experience of working in the past, and they are a fresher and post MBA, they are going to join a company for the first time. It is naturally expected that they are aware about a crisis moment like this, that of pandemic, and how it is difficult for any company to sustain in an economic crisis like this, where they need to cut down various expenses, and then they need to lay off several people from several departments. They had to reduce the expenditures or control the resource or utilization, and they had to go through a lot of pain processes. So how these students, those who would be joining, whether they carry that kind of mindset to think in terms of cost-effective manner, to think in terms of differentiation, so that they may come up with creative solutions or cost-effective solutions. So if certain expenditure is expected, how a candidate can mitigate that kind of expenditure and find a better way to reduce that kind of expenditure without compromising on the outcome or the quality of the whole purpose, why a particular activity was carried out or is to be carried out. So it is highly important for a new student or a new joinee who to actually, more than the typical MBA courses, what they have learned in their schools, they need to keep abreast with what is actually happening in the industry specific arena. If they are choosing to join a telecom industry or a FMCG industry or healthcare industry, they ought to know, it is given, they are expected to know what the kind of expectations of industry stalwarts or people who are running these enterprises, what are their expectations and how they need to align their skills and abilities to meet those expectations. One key expectation is definitely they are expected to work in terms of reducing the cost. Of course, performance is required, but with the minimal cost, how are they going to upgrade the performance level? How is it going to work? Do they have any better option? Can they come up with a better solution? So problem solving skill is an essential requirement going to be for any candidate now, whether he or she carries experience of a couple of years or a complete fresher. The skill of to solve the problem, analyze, understand the problem, analyze the problem, and solving the problem is going to be the key core of any candidate. And that is well gauged or estimated or studied or assessed while interviewing the candidate. So you may be given situations, scenarios, problems, maybe very much related to this sort of pandemic situation, with respect to the company's challenges, with respect to the company's strategic decisions, with respect to the actions which they had taken before. So those scenarios may be served as questions and cases, and the student is expected to respond right then in the given situation. So unless and until you are exposed to this sort of multiple issues or problems, and then you apply all by yourself some solution. So it is not, company is not expecting you to come up with a solution precisely. Company is definitely wanting to know, do you have a methodological approach in terms of finding solution? Do you have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D? Can you create more and more bouquet of solutions? Can you come up with more and more alternatives? One fails, can we go for the second one, third one, with the least cost effective manner? So they want an attitude in the candidate to have this sort of skill. So apart from problem solving and attitude to create more and more solution, it is the digital skills, which is all the more now increasingly required in corporate, because most of them are going to be, even post-pandemic, new candidates who would join the companies, they may have to work to some extent, maybe 10 or maybe 20, 10 or 20% time of their entire work from home mode. So probably they require, they may be asked. So again, it depends upon what job, what profile, which sector, and everything, all those things matters in terms of deciding what portion of your work time period is going to be dedicated for work from home and what percentage you're going to be working in the office or in the market or in the field. So that may vary. But then honing up digital skills or skills which would help you to function effectively in a virtual environment, to integrate the thoughts, ideas, work with a similar kind of people, with least conflicts, with lot of idea sharing, with lot of implementation of those ideas together, and then seeing. So all these require you to be well versed with digital competency or literacy. More than literacy, it is the skill you need to inculcate more. So all those things are required. So in short, skill per se is not going to be enough. You need to have the right attitude, because more and more companies are going to be now be very strict in terms of compensation or package they're going to offer. You may see surprises, even they may cut down the packages because of owing to this particular reason of pandemic. So you should be mentally prepared and carrying that kind of broad-mindedness to accept those offers rather than just feeling disappointed, because that's not, this is neither your fault nor the fault of the company or the industry. It's a global crisis going on, and you, unfortunately or fortunately, you are the part of that. So till the time this gets over, one should be having farsightedness in terms of grabbing the opportunities, as many as possible, without bothering much about the financial differences or salaries or packages you would get. And you should not be comparing with the companion or your batchmate, whosoever is working along with you. So So you should be having that kind of far-sighted, prudent approach rather than, because things will change and salaries would, you would definitely have big packages in the next few years. But don't worry about that. But learn as much as possible, because this is the right time. People will be there to guide you in the initial years. Once you progress after 4 or 5 years, nobody is going to guide you like mentors. So probably you are new joinees, there would be several people to mentor you, guide you, counsel you. So grab all these opportunities. See, get yourself prepared. That's the mantra. Get yourself ready. Always keep yourself, keep it in mind that you need to hone up the entire package. You are yourself is a package. You are a product. Assume that you are a product, and your so-called productivity must be increased in terms of honing up your skills or honing up or increasing your knowledge or understanding about the industry, coming up with various solution mode approach, generating a lot of positive vibes and attitude towards work and working with others. See, all these things are going to be effective in terms of working in PC era, because companies want such kind of flexible people who would be able to carry forward the legacy of the company in the forthcoming decades. So they don't want a rigid or typical old traditional mindset guy with a lot of yes, a lot of no's, more no's than yes. So that is the short. And anyway, I won't be expanding more. So I think that's the thing. Those are the things you need to keep it in mind while gearing up yourself for this new venture.
Right. And sir, like many of the companies are right now, you know, keeping work from home permanent, and they are moving towards it. Many, you can say, tech companies are doing it. So I just wanted to understand from the employer side, like, is it productive for them? Like, no doubt the companies are having, you know, they are cutting down operational cost. But from the employee sides, like, is work from home productive or destructive, according to you?
See, it is. Again, there is no one answer whether it is productive or destructive. Again, it has its own pros and cons. It depends. It is entirely depending upon the job profile, what job profile or job description you have, or the type of business you are in, or the industry you work in. So it depends upon these factors whether it is going to be a productive affair or destructive affair. But whatever we have seen in the last 6 months, ever since pandemic started and work from home mode was encouraged more and more by the companies across the globe, what we have observed is people have been complaining about employees have been complaining about the kind of sudden change in terms of their style of working from office back home. But then gradually what they have observed is, I mean, they have shared this experience that work from home, in spite of having the other family members, small kids or other engagements related to their household work, still they are able to manage. They are able to manage. That's a bigger sign of productivity. And companies have a lot of multinational companies have released their reports that they have seen a tremendous improvement, rather the consistency in the productivity among employees, even when employees are working from home. So companies have seen it as a great opportunity even post pandemic. Now very likely they're going to continue for those jobs where work from home approach is feasible. They are going to make it permanent in terms of allowing their employees to continue with the same approach, because productivity is continuously the same, and even employees are not complaining, rather they are okay with it and they are finding it okay, because at the end of the day, when we are working at home, we are aware that we are with family and family is aware that we are with them. So there is a psychological satisfaction and peace all the time. 24/7, you are at home. So that's a peace you always want when you are away from home. You always want that security, safety, or psychological safety kind of thing, not only for yourself, but for the family. So this way, when you are at home, you bring that assurance. So of course, it's difficult to manage time while you are at home, but then it adds value. That is why the report all have proven that it is working in the favor of employees. But having said that, there are jobs which would require to once this pandemic gets over, employees may be asked to come back. Some of the categories of jobs where employees are serving, they may be asked to come back. May not be fully, entirely 100%. Maybe their profile may carry both work from home as well as on-site jobs. So the percentage or ratio may vary. So it is a very dependable case. So now how companies would like to design, again, the role of HR comes into picture all the more now. They need to study each of those profiles and how effectively they need to plan in terms of cost benefit analysis and try to put up a proposal before the management for approval for new style of work culture in post-pandemic era, where some of the employees may be allowed to work from home fully, entirely, or some of them partly, 70-80% they may be at home, and then another 20% they can report to office occasionally once in a week, or probably 50% partly at home, partly in the office, or maybe there are categories where employees are required to be constantly traveling, like sales and marketing. So it won't be possible for them to work in a WFM mode. So probably they may have more traveling based, but then they may not have to report most of the time back to the head office or corporate office or the regional office. Now that it is all manageable and can be managed better through digital platforms, so you don't have to be necessarily there all the time. So emerging technologies are actually helping us to connect with the people virtually across the globe. So that is a blessing in disguise at the same time in this pandemic era. So all in all, it is going to be, it can't be said as whether it is productive or unproductive approach. So it may vary. It may vary. Work from home is a blessing as well as is a boon as well as bane. But it depends upon what job, what category of job you are into, which industry, which business you are into. The degree of impact, the magnitude of impact will differ. So that's my answer to it.
True that, sir. And that was rightly explained, actually. And sir, moving towards a very important segment also, which is education. And you are closely linked to it as you are right now visiting faculty in like some of the leading B schools in the country. Sir, I also know a few of my friends who opted out from MBA and other degrees just because they thought like 2020 is not the right year to take admission, right? So I wanted to understand from you, like, do you think the education system has been, like the education pattern has been changed entirely, and it will impact students' future who are currently in their final year or, you know, who just took admission in 2020?
See, you have rightly said the impact is definitely going to be there. Education system is one such sector across the globe which is actually witnessing the tremendous change because of this pandemic. And because of the integration of technology-based education through online learning platforms, the traditional way of in-classroom experience has got challenged. But having said that, it can't be 100% stated that in-classroom environment is never going to be back again. It is definitely going to be back. It has to be. It must be back. Otherwise, what will happen is you are not human machine. You are not cyborg. You are not a humanoid. You are basically a human system. And you have your own set of priorities, interests, likeness, hobbies. You want freshness every time you deal with a new situation. You want new challenges, new opportunities, new problems to be witnessed and experienced all by yourself. And you're a package of emotions after all. So and then you want to connect with people with similar kind of emotionally charged people. So it won't be happening when you are digitally connected all the time, if it is made so. You won't be able to. survive for long. You maybe, because at the moment we have no other option, because we understand that this pandemic is going to get over in the next 2 months or 3 months or 4 months or another 6 months. So we are aspiring, we are keeping that kind of hope. Probably it may extend to another 3-4 years, who knows. Even if that happens, we simply relying on digital platforms and online classroom environment is not going to be a full solution, because at the end of the day, we are people centric, whether we are from marketing, HR, engineering, computer science, or bioscience, or whatever background we carry, or taste or interest or preference or experience we carry, we at the end of the day, we want to connect with another human being. And it won't be happening if you just remain there in virtual platform, because virtually you know that you are there. At the same time, you know that you are mentally, psychologically, you may not be there, so your interest may vary. So the degree it would, over a period of time, that it may end up in terms of monotony, ambiguity, chaos, conflicts, issues, disagreements, disappointments. So a lot of misunderstanding, because virtually it is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Yes, it can be a good support system to the mainstream learning, what we have been having in classroom environment. I must also share a recent observation. Studies have been conducted in United States, and I personally was interacting with a couple of people there, out there in US, and they were associated with several universities and industry associations. What they have shared with me was that they are seeing an unprecedented change in the educational scenario across US and in Canada. And the observation is, according to them, in the forthcoming years, more and more universities are going to be shut down, and then the universities which are going to survive, top universities or international top 50 leading B schools, top 100 to 200 B schools across the globe, these attractive B schools, engineering institutions, or specialized center of excellence institutions across the world, they're going to attract the similar kind of students back post COVID era. However, the traditional, typical medium range universities or lower range universities and B schools or engineering colleges are definitely going to have a severe impact in terms of witnessing lower admissions, lower placements, and even faculty would also have a challenge in terms of getting themselves recruited in those institutions, because most of these mediocre, I would say mediocre, why? Because at the end of the day, they are not delivering quality, they are not addressing the need of the industry, what the industry wants, they are not offering. So somewhere there is a lagging. So certainly the lower rung of the institutions are going to face this a pain, and such institutions will be wiped out from the market over the next one decade, and they will have to shut down, because financially it won't be, or economically it won't be a viable proposition for them. So such institutions may have to move out of the market, and it will get replaced by a new model, and which is already started, and that is online universities will be born. New online universities, and those which are having some impression, some positive branding across the nation or in different continents, they're going to enter into those online platforms and offer courses. So yes, it's again an opportunity for teaching fraternity to get associated with such online universities and offer courses, but the packages won't be as attractive as it would be in any full-time in classroom kind of environment experience based job. So it is going to be an alarming situation for the faculty as well as students, and for the management who are actually running these universities which are still to make carve their niche in the market, which are still surviving as if they are in some utopian world. They are not bothered about what is happening at global level or national level. They are just confined to one particular niche market and thinking, assuming that things will be remaining the same for longer decades. It is not going to be the same for sure. They're going to be out of the market, brutally financially killed. Well, sorry to say that is going to be the fate of these institutions and these schools and engineering colleges and universities. But yes, those top ranking universities internationally, even in India, the NIRF ranked high ranked universities like top 50, these are all going to attract students in various departments: liberal arts, commerce, business management, engineering, and emerging technologies. Definitely, the students are going to be there, and admissions would increase, and placements would also be increasing for far better than the current scenario. So that is the whole idea about whether students should carry that kind of fear, or the students who have taken admission in the current year 2020. I would say that they have taken a decision at the moment. Now they have taken a decision. I would say there is no point in now reconsidering and all that. They have taken a decision. Let them be bold and embrace the requirement, and then get themselves attuned to what the scenario is. Keep themselves prepared. See, learning would happen in multiple windows. One window is definitely in classroom or through online sources. But there are other 2-3 windows, like self-learning, like peer learning, like associating with industry people, or doing projects, or doing self-study, or solving problems with other friends. So there can be different ways of learning. So the more you have the learning, and the more you are ready once you pass out, once you complete these 2 years from this year and next year, you will be in a better position to say that you are ready, you are industry ready. Because depending merely on placement and throwing all the, making the institute responsible for this placement, again, that wouldn't be wouldn't be right to say. Because after all, the students' numbers are going to be 120, 320, or there would be more than students than the placement companies which are visiting the company. So it is not possible to justify a good placement for all. So as a student, you should have a mentality to increase your chances, probability of selection amongst all. So how do you do that? So you keep honing your skills, learn new skills, expand your industry understanding by interacting directly with the industry people, connect with your seniors, and try to engage with a lot of projects. See, the more you do projects, you get by default an opportunity to visit, interact, meet these people, attend more and more conferences, learn new emerging areas in your own area of interest. So the more you are close to the industry problems, the more your awareness and solution tendency is going to be, solution-driven tendency is going to be. When you get an opportunity to get interviewed, for sure you will perform. You will have a greater performance there. So I won't disappoint. 2020 students must actually stay focused and continue. Yes, but next year, so definitely immediately you won't have a kind of hike in the admission rate. Next year, even we will see the impact, but not this much. It will gradually improve in the couple of years. So dhire dhire things will improve. Yeah.
Sir, as you always guide us, mentor us, and motivate us, no matter whichever situation is there. So I just wanted to ask you, like, according to you, what should be the role of teacher and mentor during these testing times? Because, you know, students are in stress and they are panicking right now. So according to you, what should be the role of teachers and mentors during this time?
See, teachers, we have been teaching, we have been mentoring, we have been counseling. So any good teacher, any teacher who is definitely wanting their students to learn more or improve and perform better later would be doing this sort of efforts of teaching or helping them to see what they are not able to see in terms of making themselves aware about what the industry wants and where, what is the gap like and how they can actually bridge that gap, what are the solutions and ways to do that, and consistently allowing them to focus on their targets without getting themselves deviated. So as a mentor, as a faculty, it's a natural job of every teacher, every faculty. But yes, there would be differences in the ways the faculty wants to do it. Some may do it in classroom. Some may like to do it partly in the classroom as well as outside the classroom, as and when they get in touch with students. Some may like to do online counseling. So there can be various ways of mentoring or guiding. If you ask me, I still do the same, still do the effort to interact separately with students in terms of, apart from the class hours, I dedicate some very genuine, I mean, some additional 2-4 hours so that I should understand the problem of groups. It won't be possible to understand one by one in person because time restrictions would be there in courses. So I ensure that the groups which I form, I take the issues in group itself. The issues could be related to their learning, to what they are up to, why they are learning, what they are learning, how, what is the purpose of learning, what they are learning, why they are doing it, what is the past and what is the future, how are they going to integrate these things together. Otherwise, there is no point simply learning, simply attending class, simply covering a subject and just leaving. Then passing out year after another, year after other, there is no point of actually grabbing those sort of, getting those sort of education system. What is the point? That is why when we look back, since our early school days, if we look back, there would be very few people who would recall what they have learned since class 1, class 10th, then our 12th standard, then graduation. Very few of us would recall properly what all we have learned. And even if some of us may recall, we won't be able to even connect with it in terms of practical scenarios. We won't be able to connect that. Then what is the point of having that kind of education when we are not able to relate it in the real life scenarios? So it should serve, it should educate an individual in terms of taking better and proper decisions for oneself and for the community. So if that purpose single-handedly is not being solved, the education per se is somewhere failing, what I believe, or the learning itself is somewhere deviating from the actual purpose. So again, it's a bigger question, who is going to do that? So involvement of teachers is, of course, faculty members are always there. They are the pillars, they are the strongest support for students. But yes, the involvement of management, the institution builders, the institutional leaders, as well as academic administrative bodies or national bodies. So all these associations and their role plays a very vital role in improvising the quality of learning that happens in a particular scenario in a system. So it's a big question, a bigger question, which is difficult to be answered in few sentences or few a paragraph. Definitely, students should be able to learn from themselves as well as from teachers, from industry experts, from their own efforts in terms of doing projects and more interaction within the like-minded groups will actually hone up a lot of things. I mean, will improve their knowledge level, their skill level, their orientation and their personality, their attitude. All those things will also parallelly they will see that it is changing and it is actually attuned to the requirement of the industry. So it's a multi effort which a student has to bring in. So in this pandemic, those who have taken 2020 admission, they need not to worry. They need not to feel disappointed. Array, our batch is going to be badly hit. We are so unfortunate. You don't have to think like that. See, just imagine, had you been working in a company for the last 5 years, and just imagine, had this particular pandemic happened, you would have thought, okay, I joined just in this company and it's been only 5 years in my career, and then I'm facing all these challenges in the very early years of my career. I'm too young to deal with this sort of problem. Wouldn't you say that? You would say that. So right. It is naturally going to make people worry. Anybody would feel worried. Even the older generations are upset. Those who are going to get retired in the next 1 year, 2 years, they are also worried, thinking that why this pandemic now when I am retiring? Or middle-aged people are saying, okay, this is a career shift going to be. I don't know what to do. I have been doing all this, the same thing all this while, but I don't know now the remaining career. How do I plan? So they are also in a fickle mindedness and a confused state. But then people need not to see it that way. Rather, the moment you change your frame, everything will change. Changing frame means changing your perspective. See it as an opportunity rather than a challenge. See it as a golden opportunity to apply what you are good at, apply all those skills and knowledge what you are good at, and try to be a solution provider. Whatever you do, please see from this angle that you need to be a problem solver. If you catch this idea, if you keep this idea in mind all the time, as and when you deal with a new situation or in a job or in your personal life, the impact or performance of yours is going to be very powerful, and then it will yield you the best result. And the outcome is definitely going to be in your favor. So having the right mindset. So I would like to probably, I would, I think, in, with respect to this question, I would say, please have the right mindset. This mindset is the game changer going to be. No matter whatever is happening around you, it will never impact if you have a very strong mindset, positive mindset. So stay with that positive mindset and you will be able to easily overcome all these challenges, what you are seeing it as the most difficult ones in your career or in your life at this time. So don't worry.
Very rightly said, sir. And sir, you are also an avid reader. So moving towards the last question, which is a recommendation from your side to the students mm-hmm. who are listening to it. So any recommendation of books, videos or articles which you would like students to read right now and get inspired or get motivated?
See, I'm a professor in the field of my micro specialization is in negotiation. Mm-hmm. So I strongly believe, apart from whatever skills we require in the post-COVID era, digital skills or problem solving abilities and everything, and the communication skills and all those. Apart from that, there is one thing, one very key thing is, even today, the seasoned managers, I have personally witnessed that they don't have the kind of ability to convince others or get the things done favorably, or to collaborate with others, to work together as a team, as a project. So this is a skill, and I'm talking about negotiation. I'm talking about negotiation skills. So this skill is nowhere taught or very rarely taught in some of the institutions across India. It is now being introduced, but it is mostly very popular there in European countries and US. So they have included in their MBA curriculum, but even they have customized training for managers and skill for industry and all. But in India, it is lying as an underdog. It requires that kind of prominence at par with any other skills that is required, that is being given prominence. So what my say is, as far as what you just asked, my suggestion to you is, make sure you build up this skill, because if you are very good, sound technically, you are very good in communication. Perhaps you have digital skills. You have analytical mind. You know what the market needs. You know what the industry is demanding. You know about the job. Still, in order to do all of these things, you need to integrate, you need to connect with everyone. Merely having communication is not going to help. You need to have an advanced communication skill called negotiation. You need to know how to get the things done positively and favorably, and how to get the other person say yes to what you desire, what you want through him or her. So converting a no to yes is a skill. And therefore, I would like to suggest two books. One is by William Ury. He is a professor in Harvard Business School program in negotiation. William Ury, the title of the book is Getting to Yes. Okay? And the same author, same professor has written another book after a few years. And that was, the title is Getting Past No. So that means these are the two books which one would tell you how to convert, how to make somebody say yes. The other one, it says that how to deal with no's. So these are the beautiful books. I always, it is always available in my bag, and I always carry with me. And I, every time I read, I feel elated. I pick up new wisdom, new knowledge, and it adds to my day-to-day life in terms of communication, in terms of dealing with people. Because at the end of the day, you are as good as your team. If the team is not ready to work for you, you are nothing. Individual skills have their own limitations. It is the group skill that is going to matter. It is the project skill that's going to matter. After all, the department is going to perform together to support the entire system, entire organization. So and tomorrow, you all are going to be leaders of those teams. You all are going to be the heads and managers and divisional heads of those teams. So the challenge is going to be all the more different and bigger in terms of convincing and keeping everybody on toe together for the common purpose which you want to achieve for them and by them and for the organizational vision. So convincing, getting all of them on board is the toughest challenge going to be. In fact, it is already there. So for you, it is going to be one of those toughest problems which you haven't yet experienced. I'm sorry to say you haven't experienced because you are yet to start your career in corporate. So go through, and it's easily available in Amazon. And third book, which I would suggest is next year, summer 2021, you will have my book on negotiation. You may like to go for it. Yeah. So I think it was a pleasure talking to you all, a very detailed, extensive discussion. And I'm very happy to interact with all of you with such an extended time period, which you have spared for me. And great. Thank you so much. And thank you, Tarun, especially. What you are doing is commendable. And I always encourage others, and including you, to go out of your comfort zone and do things. Only then you will learn. Only then you will get yourself identified in front of others or those people who are there in the industry. Otherwise, merely bookish knowledge or just passing courses or adding one more semester to your MBA program won't add any value. Because just imagine, on one last thing, one last statement, just imagine how many MBAs, how many PGDM students are passing out every year in all the B schools, more than 3,000, 4,000 B schools we have across the country. And just imagine how many MBA students are passing out, and do we all have jobs? Industry, are they offering the jobs to all of them? So just imagine, the competition is going to be increasing all the more now post-COVID. So what is going to help you out in this post-COVID scenario is to make yourself a differentiating element, bring a differentiating factor in you so that you find yourself, you separate yourself from the larger lot. And that is possible when you inculcate and bring in all these possible changes what we have narrated, discussed in the whole podcast today. And somewhere that should align you with respect to your goals, career dreams, your objectives in the future. So that's right. All from my end.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for the entire conversation. It was amazing listening to you, and each and every question was having a very detailed and very informative answer. Thank you for all the valuable insights, sir. I'm very happy to have you on the show and to have such a kind of discussion with you. Thank you so much. Thank you indeed.
My pleasure. I wish you all the best and God bless you all. Thank you. All the best for your book, sir.
We all are wishing for it and we will be looking forward to read it very soon, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Tarun. My pleasure. Have a good day. Take care.
Well, that's all from today's episode. I hope you liked it. In case if you have any suggestion or feedback, you can reach out to me at various social media handles. I'm adding the link in the description. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.